He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, I'm Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power, and it is exciting times that we are living in. If you are watching the news, if you're a Christian, then you should be excited. If you are fearful, if you are scared, then you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Read His Word, and then you will understand that these times must come so that He can come and that we can be with Him throughout eternity. Thank you so much for joining with our broadcast. I want to offer you an invitation to go to my website, hisgospelpower.org. That's hisgospelpower.org. But I would like to give you more training if you would like to get that. All you have to do is fill out your email on the front page there, and there's more training. I will put you on my email list. I will continuously be able to send you things, keep you updated on our ministry as we grow and as we minister to the world and minister to the lost around the world. I am so excited that you join with our ministry. And now let's hear about true freedom. Today I want to talk to you once again about true freedom in our series of true freedom. And the title of this is The Freedom to Fly. You know, I like to fly. I used to love to fly. It used to be one of my favorite things to do. Now with all the regulations and all the problems and taking my shoes off every place I got to go, you'd just about got to undress to walk through the line. It's not as exciting and fun to fly any longer. But it's still, once you get past all that noise and you get up in that plane, it is still awesome to think that we can jump into this big hunk of machinery and it takes off and you're actually off the ground. Now, sometimes I still have a hard time believing that even. Sometimes I'm thinking, they're just fooling us and it's just this, you know, it's like a simulator or something. We're really not going anywhere. It's just, and then we get, it's just really strange to think that we can do that. And you know, the first time I ever flew, I went to Atlanta, Georgia, and really it almost was like I didn't go anywhere because it was foggy and it was raining and it was a little bit cold in Austin, Texas. And I landed in Atlanta and it was foggy and it was raining and it was about the same temperature. And it's like, boy, it just doesn't feel like I went anywhere other than the buildings, of course, were a little bit different. But I love to fly. But the thing about flying also that I like is that I get the opportunity to write. I like to write. Can't always find the time to write. But when you're in the airport, it's hurry up and wait. So you got plenty of time. I've written a lot of my books on this little guy right here. I just sit there with that. And in fact, even on the plane, because it can be a long flight, and I don't sleep on planes. When I used to travel to Europe, you know, 14, 18, 24-hour flights, I just could not sleep. And so I found that if I can write. And so that's one thing I really like about the airports is I'm able to write a little bit. And, you know, I'm able to reflect on what's going on. I'm able to take circumstances and just kind of write them down. They don't always make a book or anything, but they're always right. I'm always writing something. But when you go through the airport today, one thing that it does is it lets you know the state of the world that we're in today, especially the stupidity of the world that we're in today, because when somebody is walking through the line with a machete and a machine gun, they just let him pass, and they got a grandma over here in a wheelchair, and they're searching her and, you know, just almost strip searching. It's crazy. And it's just about that radical. Wouldn't you agree? It's about that crazy. So what it allows me, one thing it lets me see is the control that the world has placed on us and things that are happening. You know, we were discussing, even with Peggy, I was discussing earlier, is that she had a flight that she went to, is 24-hour layover. Now, I've been through some of those. They're so exciting, aren't they? I mean, you know, you can look at the planes coming in, the planes going out, and then you can, when the airport closes down, you can look at
all the nothing and tried to sleep in those little bitty chairs. They used to at least not have the armrest. Now they put the armrest in there. You can't even lay down in the chairs anymore. What's that? They put you in a hotel. That's awesome. Well, I understand. One time my wife and I got a layover in Amsterdam, a 24-hour layover. And they didn't put us up in a hotel. Fortunately, I had the money to be able to go to a hotel, and we did, because it was a whole lot more comfortable to be able to do that than it was for those poor people that I came in the next morning to get on the plane and saw the ones that did not get a hotel were sleeping there all night long. One thing about flying is the power of the airplane that you're on. Now, I absolutely have no control over that airplane. But that power of that airplane still exists. Now, I have to trust that piece of machinery is going to take off and going to stay up in the air and is going to land again. I've got to trust. I have absolutely no power over that whatsoever. The control is taken away from me altogether. And in fact, it is the control that gives them the power. Because the control tells you, well, Peggy was telling, she was coming back from Hawaii. Miss Peggy, if you want to come back from Hawaii, you're going to have a 24-hour layover. Now, is that okay, or do you want to stay here? They got total control. The same type of thing, no matter where it is you're flying. Well, Rick, if you want to go to Baltimore, you've got to leave at 1:00. Now, if you don't like that, then you can go get in your car and you can drive there, because we're not leaving till 1:00. They have absolute total control. They have the power. They have the control that can be imposed on us, just exactly like the governments do today and that they have on individuals around the world. And it is that control that is trying to be exercised on each one of us to try to keep us in our place. But I've got some good news for you. As Christians, we have to understand that God is not surprised by anything that's happening today. Every single thing that happens today, including the Middle East, including the sickness, including no matter what it is that's going on today, God is absolutely not surprised. And if He is, then He is not worthy of our worship. He's not God. He's not sovereign. God is not surprised by what is going on today. In fact, He has absolute, total control. So no matter what it looks like out there, understand that God truly is in control. And in fact, God is actually in control of whether or not that plane goes up and stays up, or whether it goes up and comes back down again. God is actually in control as to whether or not I have to take the 1:00 flight or not. Maybe He could make another one come available to me. And I believe that's part of the fear that we have as Christians from the outside world. Because once we begin to understand that, we have a power that is available to us that we can exercise at calling on the name of Jesus. It's that simple. You see, the Muslims, people are afraid of the Muslims because when they become radicalized. Now, I want to tell you, I'm going to take a little parenthetical real quickly. Islam is not a peaceful religion. I don't care what they tell you. The ones who are not chopping off heads are the 98% that are sitting around just like us Christians that are doing nothing. You know, 98% of America, it used to be, now it's not, since it's not popular to be a Christian anymore in America, it's only about 80%. But still, 80% of America claims to be Christian. You know that, right? Now, how many is in the community of Milano? It's about 500, isn't it? Okay, somewhere in that neighborhood. And then, so how many is in Caldwell? About 3,000 or so? How many do you think's in church today? Of all of the people that we just named, of the 3,500 or the 4,000. How many's in church? Well, probably about 10%. And so maybe 10%. So you can see that 80% of those who claim to be Christians are not, and I don't mean just this week, because this week, you know, there's the people that are out today, I know that are faithful to coming to service. I'm not talking about those people, because things are going on in their life. They just have to be out this week, but they're going to be back again next. Right? They're going to be, they're part of our family, and they're coming in. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about those that we never see. I'm talking about the 80% who come on Easter and Christmas. Or maybe because they went to a funeral in a Christian church. Those are the 80% I'm talking about. Well, those guys are those Christians. Well, the Muslims, the non-radicalized Muslims, is that 80 or 98 or whatever it is percent of the Muslim population? It must be 98% because they say only 2% are radicalized. So 98% of those really are not following their religion. That's the bottom line here. Because if you read the Quran says that we are to kill, or not we, but the Muslims are to kill the infidel. Now, how would you feel if I stood before you today and said, now all of you Christians, take up your arms, and if they say that they do not want to be a Christian, shoot them down, cut their heads off, whatever, they are to die. How would you feel about that? Chances are I'd be looking for another job pretty quick. Like 12:10, if I got that far. If Virgil didn't stand up, Don didn't stand up in the middle, and you know, all three, got big old Billy over there, he didn't, all three of them come up here and just drag me out, say, sir, I think we've about had enough of this. I don't even get through the sermon. So those people, the control that they have over us, over the world, is that they are feared that if you do not accept what they have, then of course, they're going to kill you. Right? But we have a more powerful, some more power than they could ever have in that little knife they've got. But we don't call on it. We leave it laying on the floor. And the thing is the Muslims understand God, but even though they're not Christians and they're going to hell without Jesus. And let's make no uncertain terms about it. If they do not have Jesus in their life, they're not going to be in heaven. But they understand more about God than we do because they fear the Christians because they know if we become radicalized, they're in some real trouble. Because now they have to not fight us. They don't have to worry about the knife. They don't have to worry about the sword. They don't have to worry about the gun. They got to worry about God himself. That's who they've got, and they understand that. They understand the power of God. Now they wield all the power they've got themselves, but their hand. But we have a power within us that if we will exercise, mountains will fall. Now we've got some sick people in the church today. Brother Roy is sick. I was just let know today by Bobby that his blood pressure is really high, and so he's sick. So we need to remember him. Miss Thelma is sick. She's having a really hard time. Miss Mildred is sick. Now, Brother Jim calls her Annie. I think that's a little pet name, or that's something they have, but her name is Mildred. If y'all are confused when I say Mildred, well, that's what it is. He calls her Annie. And that's okay. She's sick, and she needs our prayers. Some might say, yeah, but she's 93 years old. I don't care. That has nothing to do. I'm not talking about age. I'm talking about sick. I'm talking about the power of God. I don't care how old you are, because you can say, wait a minute now, this person over here is 30, and they're sick. Well, yeah, but they're 30, so they'll get better. Well, no, there are people die at 30 all the time. There was a missionary I saw on the wall this morning. They were telling me, this Nannis was telling me, he died at the age of 30. So let's not put any kind of age on this. I don't know what Miss Mildred's life is going to be. I don't know if she's going to live to 110 and leave thousands more to the Lord. I don't know. So age has nothing to do with it. The power of God as comes out of our heart has everything to do with it. Number one, we are free to expect the power of God. Did you hear what I said? We are free to expect the power of God. Now, some people might get that. Some people get, do they really do? They get plumb nervous about that. It's like, wait a minute, hold it. You mean, I don't have to, I can't expect anything out of God because He's God. And so that sounds pretty presumptuous, right? Because now I'm imposing my will on, I expect Billy to stand up. Billy, stand up. I expect it. But it just, no, you can sit down now. But just as well, I could have said, I expect Billy to stand up. He says, I ain't gonna stand. I'm just going to sit here. No, Billy, you stand up. No, I ain't standing. See, I can expect him to do that, and he doesn't have to because he's his own person. So when I start talking about expecting God, people get real nervous because they're like, wait a minute now, God is God. He's not your puppet. And I'm here to tell you, he's not your puppet. You know, we're not praying, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? You know, y'all gonna hear that 1,000 times before I get out of this pastorate. I'm telling you, that's one of those things I just remember because that's not the God I serve. But when I say expect God, and the reason I say that is because God has told us to expect Him to fight for us. He has told us to expect Him to heal us. He has told us to expect Him to love us. He has told us to expect Him to give us eternal life if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Has He not? The little boy, I'm sorry, his name escapes me. Jacob. He expects you to feed him, doesn't he? He knows you're going to feed him too, doesn't he? I mean, it's like he doesn't even question it. He doesn't say, well, I sure hope they're going to feed me today. He doesn't even think about that. He's like, well, it's time to eat. And it could be, if they're anything like my grandchildren, it could be four or five times today. It's time to eat. And they don't even have two thoughts about the fact that they're going to come in there. They're expecting when they say, I'm hungry, I say, okay, well, let's see if we can find something to eat. They're going to expect that. Right? Why? Because we love them. And we have the wherewithal to do it. Now, it could be totally different if we didn't have food in the pantry to feed them. That could be a totally different thing. But God always has food in the pantry. It's never dry. He always has the healing power. He always can do what God does. Now, I want to tell you a quick story. We talked a few nights ago about Jesus Freaks, the book. Excuse me, I had a donut before service. I won't do that again. You're trying to talk to me. He talked about in the book of Jesus Freaks, there was a Russian boy, a young man. And he was inducted into the service. As many are, I mean, in Russia, it was mandatory. And, of course, it used to be here in the United States as far at certain times. It was called the draft, and you had to go in. But it was mandatory in Russia that he had to go. He goes into service, and there's a problem, though. He's a Christian. Well, they begin to indoctrinate this young boy about the fact that there is no God and that true communism is atheistic. True communism is rest in the control and the power of the government. And son, you're going to believe that. That's what you're going to believe. And he said, no, I'm not. I believe in Jesus. And so they were going to teach him a lesson and be an example for everyone. And they put him out in summer clothing in Siberia in the dead of winter, and it was some minus 30 degrees out there, in his summer clothes, and stood him out in the middle of the compound. And of course, they were all laughing and joking, oh, this ought to be good. You know, this won't take long. It'd be 10, maybe 10 minutes. They were making bets on how long it was going to be before he come running in there, denounce Christ and become a communist, a true communist. A day went by. 2 days went by. 3 days went by. And they're going out there. The men that were going out to check on him could only stay out for a matter of minutes. And they had to run back in because they were getting frostbitten. And he was standing out in this freezing cold weather for those days. And ultimately, when he was brought in, how did you withstand that? Well, because it was like heaters were all around me that were sustaining me. I had perfect heat of the Holy Spirit that was just, and it was just wonderful. And it was no problem. And he had no frostbite, and he had no ill effects of the weather. Well, and he didn't convert. Because why? Because see, when they stood him out, he didn't go standing out there and say, well, I'm expecting to die. He went out saying, I'm expecting my God to take care of me. That's what he went out, knowing that God was going to take care of him. Now, how did that taking care look like? He didn't know that. The taking care of him could have meant God let him freeze to death in 10 minutes and brought him home. It could have been that. You see, we are people that live in the flesh and really believe only in the flesh. Think about it. Now, be honest with yourself. I know myself, it's pretty hard sometimes. I mean, we live in the flesh because we don't understand the things of the Spirit. Right? I mean, that's the truth of the matter. That's how it works. We live in this body, and so even though we read the Word, we pray, we've been in the Spirit sometimes, and God does miraculous things, and we feel all this, still, truthfully, we don't live in the spiritual world. So we revert to our flesh. If God would have killed the man and brought him home, would that have been a bad thing? No. You see, the best thing for us is to live with him through eternity. This is really where the hell is. You know, as people, we love Miss Mildred, and we know in the name of Jesus that he's going to heal her. We don't know how the healing's going to be. We don't know. And truly, it's our selfishness that wants to keep him here. That's what really wants it. Because you know what? It's not that, oh, well, it's so bad for her. I'm not ready for that. That's what it is, right? I'm not ready. Well, God says, I don't care if you're ready or not. She is. You see, God has the control. And when we realize that, we will allow him. Do you know that plane has power? But if I don't get on the plane, I can't expect it to take me to where I want to go. If I sit right outside and watch the plane, it really has no power that concerns me. And it's the same thing with God. If we do not expect the power that he gives to us, then it'll never work for us. If we're not willing to pray, then we can't expect to receive. Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. But you know what? There was affirmations in each one of those. You had to ask. You had to seek. You had to knock. You had to do something. And because that doing is expectation. And it's kind of that faith starts growing in there. It's a cool thing when the faith starts growing there. God has no limitations on him like that plane does. God has the power without the limitations. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. That's where God resides within us when we expect and take that step. When I was in the hospital the other day with Miss Thelma, I'm walking out. You know, we're quote unquote a busy people. Most of us we want to get somewhere real fast so we can do nothing or something. That's really what it is. hurry up and wait. Still, we're always in a hurry to get to wherever it is we're going. And I'm walking by and I saw this family that was going in to the critical unit, because that's where Miss Thelma was, about five of them, and they were all holding hands. And a couple of them were crying. I mean, you can see what's, you know, you can see the story. You know the story. And they were hurting. And as I'm leaving, I see this family out in the waiting room, and they're still close to each other, holding hands, weeping, some of them. And I just walked on by. And I got out to the, almost to the elevators. And actually, as I'm walking by, I felt like God says, go over and pray with those people. And I ignored it, to be quite honest with you. I just ignored it. I just walked on by. It's like, I don't even know those people. What they, it's not going to do anything for me to pray for them. What's the big deal? And still, I kept on walking towards the elevator, and God said, go pray with those people. So I stopped, turned around, went back, and I said, I'm not the chaplain here, but it's easy for me to see that you're hurting. Would you mind if I prayed for you? And they just, yes, they were all open arms. Didn't give them my name. Don't know any of them from Adam. Don't know why, except for one thing. I want to be obedient, or I can't expect God to work the miraculous in me. If I'm not obedient to what He tells me to do, I can't expect Him to do it. Number two, there's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit works through us. And in fact, that is the power of God. Do you understand that as you're giving the gospel, you're giving eternal life? Do you understand that those who receive Jesus Christ receive eternal life? Do you understand that those who receive Jesus Christ receive the healing? Do you understand that those that receive Jesus Christ receive the love forever? Did you know that? Do you understand that? If you understand that, the next time you have that unction that inside you that says, you need to tell those people about Jesus, or you need to pray with them, or you need to do whatever. And trust me now, if this is going against your nature, as long as it's something not telling you to kill somebody, if it's going against your nature telling you to kill somebody, it's probably if Satan's talking to you. But if it's going against your nature to go pray with someone, that's God talking to you. You can bank on that as no uncertain terms. If it goes against your nature when you've got, know somebody that has an affliction in their body and you say, well, I want to pray with you, or something to say, you know what, you need to pray for them. And that's not in your nature. That is God speaking, telling you. And I believe, and I have seen, in fact, that you will see miraculous things if you will listen to that voice that tells you at that time, to pray with those people. To step out and look like a fool. I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? You're going to be a fool for somebody. You're going to be a fool for yourself. You're going to be a fool for Satan. You're going to be a fool for somebody. I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? And the reason I say that is because some people that you pray for, nothing might happen. And so then you're saying, well, now I look stupid. No, you don't. You were obedient. You're not the healer. You don't fix the situation. You don't fix the relationship. You don't do anything. You are the prayer. You're the vessel. You're not the healer. You just pour out what you got, and then God takes care of the rest. See, He's not worried about looking foolish, because He knows there's something going on. You didn't see the healing take place, but it still triggered something in that person that says, you know what? This is the fifth time this week somebody's tried to pray for my leg. And nothing's happened, but there's still something's moved in their spirit, maybe. You don't know what's going to happen. And so we don't expect God. We make excuses for it. Daily. If the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, then why would you not have the same power that the apostles had? Have you ever thought about that? According to the Bible, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you and you and you and you. If you know Jesus, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. There's a movie called Faith Like Potatoes. It's one of my favorite movies. I love it. This man, he lived in Australia. He was a farmer. And he was not a Christian in the beginning of the movie. He found Christ. In his ministry, I don't want to tell you the whole movie, but I can tell you these couple of little segments without giving too much away. And this is a true story, by the way. This is not just a movie. This is a true story. In his ministry, there was someone that died in a village near him, and they came and got him because of his faith that they knew he had. And he went and prayed for this person, and they were not healed. They were raised from the dead. This little girl was already dead. And he prayed for this little girl, and she raised from the dead. But yet, later in the movie, someone close to him is in a horrible accident, and he prays for them, and they died. I'm not here today to give you a formula. I'm not here to say, this is what will happen every single time you do. I'm just here to tell you to do. Step out and believe God. Jerry Falwell said, if you are not believing something for God that you cannot do for yourself, then you are not exercising your faith. And I would agree with that. If everything you're doing is walking in your own power, then you have no power. You have no power. And you've got a power available. Every single one of us are going to walk out and jump in our cars and drive off. We got that power available to us. All we got to do is stick the key in the ignition, turn it, and boom, we can get to wherever we're going at 60 miles an hour. Some of y'all may be faster than that. But if we all decide just to hit the road and start walking, you know what? We're shirking that power. We're not picking up that power. And then I don't care how far you live. Virgil, you're only a couple of miles down the road. It's still going to take you 15, 20, 30 minutes to get home. Maybe more than that, but I'm trying to be nice here. I mean, I didn't want to count the times you're sitting down resting. I live 30 miles or 50 miles. I live 50 miles from here. It's going to take me. I might as well just stay here because I'll be pulling up in my driveway by the time it is to come back here. Romans 8:11 says, and if the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, He also gives life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Jesus lives in us.
Thank you for joining with us on this segment of His Gospel Power. I'm Rick Hurtless. This is a listener-supported ministry, so I'm asking for your help. You could help in many ways. You could go to Amazon.com and buy any one of my books. If you just type in Rick Hurtless, you can take a look at the different books that I offer. My latest book is True Freedom. And, of course, you can go to my website, hisgospelpower.org, hisgospelpower.org, And there is a donate button on that website. You can click on that website. You can make a donation that way. Or if you would just like to mail it the old-fashioned way, mail your checks to P.O. Box 1569, P.O. Box 1569, Rockdale, Texas, 76567. And I would appreciate your help in this matter and, in fact, with any future support that you would like to give to this radio ministry. If it is blessing you, if you are hearing the Word of God and you are being fed on this radio broadcast, it would be my honor to accept your donation so that I might keep bringing it to you.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed.